And we're with Stephen Quayle tonight. His newest book, Weather Wars and Unnatural Disasters. And how does this all tie into the apocalypse prophecy? Stephen's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and of course, Stephen Quayle. Stephen, you have studied prophecy. You've studied Genesis. Tell me just a little bit about the four horsemen, about the apocalypse. You know, old Bill Cooper, who died in 2001 in a gun battle with police, believed that in his book, Behold the Pale Horse, all these horrors would come. You're almost like the new evolution of some of the things he believed.
Well, I don't think I'm the new evolution. I'd say I'm a concurrent voice with yours. Bill Cooper was so ahead of his time, but remember, William Cooper, who he was and the information he had, you know, just in the time I've been listening to the station break, you know, there are people emailing me saying, well, how do we know this is not science fiction, et cetera? Well, first of all, the prophetic realm of this, George, is so clear. One of the things I think in the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, which is based on the book of Revelation and Revelation chapter 6, you basically have the different horses being the different judgments coming upon the earth, and the judgments are coming upon the earth at the same time this individual called the Antichrist, who takes the place of Jesus Christ, is being revealed to the world. Now, we're dealing with a fascinating situation here. We've got war, we've got famine, we've got death and hell, we've got absolute chaos, and I think one of the most prophetic and profound things that got me, if you were to ask me what's the most prophetic thing that has gotten you, it's this whole idea of that we're coming into a not only a cashless but a totally manipulated society where everything we think, do, and say is basically not only in the pill they gave us today, as the old song used to say, but in the plans for us. And Revelation 13, 16 through 17 is probably the most amazing thing, because every day, what are we hearing about? We're hearing about people getting Verichips. We're getting about new retina scans, all sorts of biometric IDs. And you have to ask yourself this question. Why does somebody want to track every human being on the planet? Why does everybody want to track every single animal on the planet through the animal identification system? And you come up with that word, George, that you can't escape. Prophecy confronts the control that people want to take over free will. Now, let me read Revelation 13, 16, 17, because this sounds like the headlines. And he, the Antichrist, causes all, the small and great, the rich and poor, and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on the right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has a mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. So Bible prophecy talks about great empires. Obviously, the book of Daniel, there are a lot of people that don't want to accept it because it's too accurate. And I think they don't want to acknowledge the book of Revelation because it's becoming accurate. And when I say it's always been accurate, but it's becoming more prominent in the news. And ask yourself this, what would be the global fallout if all the financial systems of the world were to concurrently fail? Because that's what I believe is going to take place. I believe you're going to see the cascading, catastrophic failure of the world's individual economies based on individual currencies come crashing down. And then the globalists, who have been the ones that have practiced the Hegelian dialectic, which means that they create the problem, they provide the solution, and in providing the solution to the problem they created, they bring about the total transformation of society. And it really infuriates me that, you know, it's kind of like those mindless Visa card commercials they show where if you use cash, you're throwing a wrench into the gears or whatever. But they don't go on to tell you in that same commercial they now are raising the interest rates to 25 to 35% on credit cards.
I remember, Stephen, gosh, it must have been 2 years ago, you were on this program saying, be careful of the housing market. They're going to get you. They're going to foreclose on your houses. And that was 2 years ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the problem. When you live in the future, and that's one of my problems, people automatically say you're crazy, you're always wrong. They expect what you say to come to pass instantaneously, or they dismiss it. But what's happening, George, is the comfort zone of denial is absolutely being kicked out from everybody. In other words, where people used to be able to avoid this, you remember somebody said, it's a it's a sad thing when someone else loses their job. It's a tragedy when you lose yours, you know. The point is that as long as things haven't touched us, we've been able to stay emotionally, let's say, empathetic, but we to a large degree, you know, it's happening over there, just like war. You know, war's always been fought pretty much on foreign soil. Now it's coming here, the whole thing of terrorism. But the point is that the terrorism can be, if you will, the whole Hegelian dialectic. And I believe that Revelation 13, which talks about the mark of the beast, is what's in store for us. Again, being very specific, and mark my words on this. You know, I know that you guys have your January situation. The economy going into 2008 is going to go very, very badly. There are people, George, you're on the radio. You know, sometimes I send you emails I get from different people. Mm-hmm. And you get emails from different people. But there are people that are uniquely placed in the banking world at the highest levels that call me, that give me emails and tell me what's really going on. And I can tell you this, the average person would simply not be able to embrace what's getting ready to happen. If it's 2 million people that lose their homes, that's phenomenally bad. If it's 3 million, if it doesn't matter the number, it's going to happen. Same thing with credit card defaults.
This was done on purpose, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. This is all being done on purpose. Because, listen, if you are the biggest egotist in the universe, okay, and you want total control, and remember, Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil, and if the love of money and the control of money can basically channel people wherever they want, what are people without jobs going to do? What are they going to do? As you know, George, the shortages are showing up. We're seeing absolutely famine in different parts of the world. Every report I get every day, and by the way, I do my homework, okay? I pay attention to stuff. I wouldn't want people to keep the hours I keep reading all of the different publications, because they're not called to do that. But when you take it all together, there is an unseen hand that is manipulating and bringing this all this stuff to pass. Jesus talked about wars. He talked about famines. He talked about earthquakes. You know what's fascinating? The winds and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for looking after those things coming upon the earth, failing them for fear. And you know what? When your status quo gets interrupted, or the comfort zone, or that which is usual and that which is comfortable, then things become disjointed. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had your feet kicked out from under you and whatever, but I have, and most people have.
Sure,
you know?
Sure I have.
At some point, and obviously everybody has, but it's different. It's an interruption.
It's living, Stephen, up and down. It's part of life.
It's part of life. But the bottom line is now we've got people, and I would say very sinister people. And listen, here's the bottom line. The devil and God are at war. It is a war of total eternal consequence.
Now, see, you are the only person who sees the big picture. I'll tell you why. We know these things are going on. Of course, the weather's being manipulated. Wars are being done. The economy's down the tanks. People want to see our way of living collapse. They're evil people. They are the product of Satan. They want this to happen. And you see it.
And I'm trying to warn everybody because, you know, again, the bottom line is that all these things are leading to one world government. You know, here's the thing. You know, the surveillance society, I think prophetically, that fits into the devil's attempt at being all-knowing, omniscient. You know, people that post their different personal information, has it come to as a surprise or even a concern to most people that every data bank that exists, George, has been violated or has been basically confiscated or cyber hacked or cyber attacked? And again, you know, the dossiers, listen, this is the only country in the world where people will voluntarily tell all the different intelligence agencies everything about their lives down to the most minute detail. It's called networking, okay? But the point that people don't understand is the whole internet was set up by the U.S. military and the DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Product Group. You know, the point that I guess I'm trying to make, and this, I'm getting really upset over this. I apologize.
No, that's all right. Get upset.
But the bottom line is people then willy-nilly go out and tell. They spill their guts on these different websites, and guess what? There's somebody there at whatever 3 or 4 letter agency building a complete dossier, and this is the ultimate control mechanism. You know, the bottom line is is that we are being herded to the slaughter. Now, those of us who have been warning about this all these years, about all the prison camps, about the plans, one of the men that used to be, and this is prophetic, one of the men that used to be over the entire Western United States who died for giving information out that the powers that be didn't want him to give out on the plan to put so many people into these prison camps. But, you know, it's not like the historic prison camps. There are a lot of people that are going to die. The plan, listen, I've had a four-star general, active duty, tell me that the plan is to kill 200 million Americans. Now, that makes me angry, and it makes me bloody angry that we see everything coming to pass. We see this. You know, you've heard the stories, too. I know you have. You know, the bottom line is that I'm tired of six-year-olds being arrested. I'm tired of people like the poor Gottlieb woman, I believe that's her name, the lady that died in Phoenix. You know, I'm tired of people being tased in the back of the head. Somebody sent me an email. His best friend, 36-year-old, has a heart attack. He goes down on the ground. The law enforcement officer unwisely shoots him with a taser, and this guy dies. The point is that, you know, we've no longer got any respect for human life. And see, that's what tells me the supernatural element, the ones who hate us the most, and this is where it gets into ancient prophecies. Listen, there are no prophecies that I know of that separate the good and evil fight, okay? People can listen, they can deal with the fruit of evil all day long, but till they zero in on the root of evil, they cannot explain what's happening or project what's going to happen. Listen, prophecy is God in his mercy and love telling his creation what's coming down the pike and who's behind it. People say, well, I don't believe it. And that's the problem. They don't believe it. But because they don't believe it, doesn't dissolve them of the negative ramifications that are going to come along with it.
Stephen, it's upsetting to see what's happening to people, at least in this country. I mean, they're just not acting right. I've said this, I've been saying this for months now. They're upset. They're angry. You know, I wish there's something we could do for everybody to calm people down, to get them to realize that no matter what happens, we're all in this together, to just create their life as good as they can. You know, I just had a little grandchild born, a little tiny guy, and, you know, I want them to be happy. But the only way they're going to be happy is they got to be happy with themselves first, and I don't think many people are anymore.
Well, I think they've lost the ultimate purpose, I think, of man's creation. And this gets into, you know, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our might and our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. You know, that's a concept, George, that's foreign, you know. I started, you'll appreciate this, I started a ministry through my radio program for single moms, okay? I am so heartbroken, I mean this genuinely, I am so heartbroken over just the abandonment of families and moms trying to raise kids on usually a salary that doesn't go very far. I'm brokenhearted over all the Vietnam vets that are committing suicide. I saw the article, I'm sure you did too. 120, I think it is, a week are killing themselves.
Jeez.
That's a lot of men and women. That breaks my heart. And I just want to share this too, George. If any veterans out there want my book, I want them to have it free, okay? I have said, for their service of country, all they have to do is write to me. May I give, and this is for,
of course,
for the veterans. God bless every single one of you men and women that have fought for your country, that are fighting for your country, that have lost it. Because, again, I am so sad. Listen, we don't need another $60 billion to blast, the desert. What we need is to be taking care of these individuals and caring for them that are our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters. And so if there are veterans out there, I'll say this to the first 100 people, because I can't do this beyond that, but I only print so many books at a time. But if they write me at Steve Quayle, 315 Edelweiss, like the flower, Edelweiss Drive, Bozeman, Bozeman, Montana, 59718. Tell me what you're a veteran of. Tell me where, wherever you were, Vietnam, it doesn't matter, Iraq. The point is, and I'll get you a book free, and that's just my way of saying thank you. And, you know, the books are nice. They're not like a flimsy thing. You've seen my books, George. They're well-presented, and they're well-informed. And, again, I want people, you know, to think during the holiday season. Do something for someone. Wake up this break the attitude that you and I are talking about, that is it just breaking both our hearts, is to simply care and do something for someone.
I agree.
I got to tell you this. I tell people that on my radio show every day. Look, do something for someone that can't do something for themselves. I even said this, truckers. God bless every trucker out there. I've said to my radio audience, not every day, but the times I bring this up, and it's on my heart now through the holidays, go to a truck stop. You know, if you see somebody sitting there and you know, with a rig and it's parked because they can't get back to their family because they can't afford the gas at $3.80 or $4 a gallon, give them $100. Now, look, I am not trying to be the tooth fairy here. I'm just trying to say the way you break these devils and their wickedness is you start to care, and the L word. You know, you and I talked about that one show. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You came to the conclusion there's no longer any love. There's all take and no love. Oh, there's plenty of lust, okay? That's a given. But love, concern, care, and I got to share this with you. I'm 56, okay? I've done a lot of stuff.
You're younger than me, Stephen.
But I have. Listen, I'm 158 by mistakes. I'm three times your age at the speed of light, okay?
All right, so you're 56 in animal years.
Yes, in animal years. So, you know, thank you. That's really true. So the point is, though, but I've come to the conclusion of this, is that purpose and meaning cannot be any more multiplied or any more important than caring for other people. And I'm not talking about the people that know you and you love, you know, and all that stuff like family and close friends. I'm talking about people that are out there. I got to tell you, I know in L.A. you guys have got missions and you've got all that stuff. I can't drive by those without weeping, okay? And by the grace of God, I don't go by any place when I'm there without trying to do something. I'm talking financially, you know?
I saw a guy today on the side of a road. Now, he was pushing one of these supermarket carts that he obviously picked up. And he's picking up things, cans, bottles, stuff. But he wasn't picking them up when I saw him. He was on the sidewalk, not moving, with his arms out like we would do when we were kids in the snow and we made angels. Remember that?
Yep.
But he wasn't moving. Stephen, I thought he was dead. So I pulled over. And as I was ready to get out, somebody else got out of their car ahead of me and got to him and, like, kicked him a little bit, not hard, and he woke up. The poor guy was sleeping on the sidewalk in the middle of nothing.
Well, George, if we see 6 million people lose their homes or 2 million people lose their homes, I'll tell you this. Jesus said a powerful statement. He didn't say if you get on television and shake down people for money. He said, by this shall all men know that you're mine, that you have love one for another, you know? And I got to tell you something. That's something that is so foreign. And the devils that are, I call them the powers that be, the word love does not exist. I can tell you this, that I've looked into some of their eyes. I've sat down, George, face to face with some of the most evil men who openly worship Lucifer, who have told me what they do to small children, okay?
Oh, God.
And I won't go any further. But I can tell you this, the bottom line is they have no souls.
Can we beat these people?
You can, but only in the power and strength of God. It is not a physical thing. You know, if you could see, that's the problem with the world. The world's coming at each other in the devil's realm. He's sitting there because he knows this. He's kind of like, in essence, he backs both sides in the brawl and knows that as long as he can keep the stuff stirred, he can keep people killing each other, you know? When Jesus said ethnos will rise, or kingdom will rise against kingdom, you know, nation against nation, that word nation means ethnos. So what do we have now? We've got the whole issue of everybody, no matter what their background, there's this stirring up, this anger that you're talking about, this soon to break out into what I would call murderous hostility.
It's around the planet. It's not just here.
It's around the planet. And so, again, you have to come against it in a different spirit, you know? And that's the thing that I think people don't understand. So, this, you know, here's a wonderful, wonderful scripture, and I mean, truly it is. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, you know? And I think of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, the bottom line is that it's all about people. You know, this is something, what did Jesus do? He fed them before he preached to them.
Stephen, okay? Let's talk about the microbiologists, those who are dying around this planet, to see if there's been any more since we last talked. Stephen Quayle, our guest, Weather Wars and Unnatural Disasters. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. You can ask him a question or two. I'll be back. Well, you can pick up the After Dark newsletter and get 13 issues for the price of 12 in the December issue. You're going to find out about the Akashic Records. You're going to also find out about the origin of angels and my editorial on Santa Claus. No, you don't want to miss that. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Stephen, I can't remember when we did a full program with you. Was it, how long ago was it?
Oh, it had to be probably 9 months ago, George.
At least. And, you know, we continue to talk about these dying microbiologists, some of whom, many of whom, die under very strange circumstances. Have you gotten us any updates yet?
Well, I think the biggest update and the biggest news is now the gentleman, one of the former British MPs that wrote the book on Dr. David Kelly's assassination. You know, you and I were on together, I think, within a day or two of his execution.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing is so important because, again, here's the thing that I think that people can't rationally embrace, is that Dr. Kelly obviously was the head of the British Ministry of Defense's biological and chemical weapons program. But when you start looking in the biological and chemical weapons program, you get to the point that, again, if someone wants to rid the world of 5.5 billion people, then they're going to have to do it using something that can be dispersed at a almost an even basis over the entire planet. Now, all of the biological weapons scientists, the molecular biologists, and everyone who's been assassinated, murdered, taken out, if you will, snubbed out, these are the world's premier. They're not just a who's who of, let's say, low-level individuals. Some of these people are and were the most respected men in virology, immunology, molecular biology. And so the thing is, when you start seeing people of Dr. David Kelly and others' level of expertise and knowledge being wiped out, you know this. They know something that someone was deathly, deathly afraid of. And I have made the claim, and I still stand by the claim, having been the one that broke the story and following it all the way through, that these were the men and women that could have provided the, if you will, the inoculations or the antidote or the whatever it would be, the countermeasure to the measures being taken. So when, for instance, when we talk about this stuff, it's interesting to see who will hit certain servers, and it's like the who's who of the biggest corporations in the world get interested when you and I do this show. I want you to know that. It's amazing to see who takes notice. It's amazing to find out, you know, through basically I find out everyone that's listening to the show through our servers. And you'd be surprised, certain buzzwords, you'll see everybody come on at once. And the dead scientists, that's the ultimate thing that gets their attention.
Some of these scientists, even though they were microbiologists, were they knowledgeable about getting back to the original premise, and that was weather manipulation?
Well, absolutely, because, again, weather manipulation becomes the ultimate ultimate engine for driving whatever aerosolized virus is placed out there. Think about this, and this is pretty tragic. If they were to disperse it off the West Coast and allow the winds to basically carry it across country, and let's say that everything we've been exposed to in the chemtrail spraying to date is a primary agent of a binary weapon, you know, people can't grasp the fact that there are actual cases where not only the British government, but the U.S. government continues to experiment on people, just like when all the radiation experiments were going on and the above-surface atomic weapons explosions in Nevada. There are so many people that died of cancer, different forms of cancer, and that was always kept quiet. See, that's the problem. I resent being a guinea pig. I resent my daughter, my son, my grandchildren that are you know, going to have to grow up and be exposed to stuff. And probably the most deadly thing out there is the lies surrounding vaccinations, okay? You've had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on.
Sure have.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'll tell you what, I admire her immensely. There are so many people that have been telling the truth, but it's almost, George, like there's a mind melt. Because, again, we saw for the first time, and Alex did a marvelous job, you know, of documenting what went on in Maryland when 3,600 kids had to be vaccinated, and obviously under armed guards with attack dogs present. What has this country become to? That should have been an image that should have been forgotten with a Nazi Germany. But now, So, see, you ask yourself this. You know, any honest researcher will tell you, even doctors, I know doctors that won't get their kids vaccinated, but they go along with the system because they're told to vaccinate every kid.
Well, you know, here we are, Prince George's County in Maryland is going to start jailing parents if they don't get vaccinations for their kids.
Yep. Does that not seem, you know, when you heard that, George, what did that say to you? Did you say, what in the blazes has this country come to? Or were you even surprised that there wasn't a greater stink? If you and I and the others on talk radio haven't covered it, most people wouldn't even know about it.
That's exactly right. And we keep pounding away at it.
I got to tell you, that breaks my absolute heart. I've been in the different cemeteries around, some of them in Europe, where a lot of American guys died, you know. And the bottom line is the entire Arlington, you see all those crosses, and you see them even contemporary, and you hear of, you know, all of the deaths of the Gulf War veterans just since the Gulf War I, Desert Storm. It just is perplexing to me, because one of the things that I remember interviewing is Dr. Garth and Nancy Nicholson, okay? And they were the ones that started talking about Mycoplasma incognitus. And then some of the stories about the anthrax vaccine that was out there, I'm almost convinced that some of these events, and I'll make this blunt, I am totally convinced that some of these events are basically profit-driven at the expense of American servicemen and women to basically get the most bucks out of whatever can be gotten by developing some countermeasure to something that they developed in the first
place. Well, you get no argument from Joyce Riley, Nurse Joyce Riley, who heads up the Gulf War Vets Association. She agrees with you wholeheartedly on that.
Yep. The point being is that when you think it through, see, again, it's one thing when it's happening to a vet, but when there's no more vets to defend you, and these entities have, and I refer to them as entities, because in many cases, George, we are dealing with non-human intelligence,
okay.
NHIs.
I get a fast blast in from someone who says, why is Stephen Quayle scaring us? Why is he doing this? Talk about something fun.
Well, I can tell you. I'll tell you something fun. It's just, and I tell this to everyone. I mean this with no disrespect. If people are getting scared, the best antidote I know for fear, okay, you can either deal with something ahead of time and deal with the fear associated with it ahead of time, or be taken by surprise. And so the point is that, look, I can't, if somebody wants to live in La La Land, seriously, then they shouldn't listen to this. But if they listen to this, I think it's because they have an innate desire and something deep within their intuitive or consciousness that wants to know what's really going on. Because, George, most people don't figure it out. They know something's wrong. I talk to hundreds of people a week. They know that something's wrong. They don't necessarily know exactly how it all fits in, but they know there's something wrong. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that.
So I don't mean to scare anybody. You know, I get that. You scare people, you know. No, I don't. You know what? I'm scared to death at what's happening to this country, and I believe that men and women and children should have a better hope for a future than the one I see on the horizon. You know, we're talking about 6 million people losing their home. We're talking about 3 million people having to be moved out of Atlanta unless something happens to get them water. And it's not just Atlanta. It's the entire Southeast. Now, Montana's even in drought. California, you guys have just gone through horrific fires.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Horrible.
Horrible. And the point is that, look, you've got to ask yourself something. Why, then, are there 100-page reports on weather warfare modification? Why are there active measures? Listen, the guys that listen in on shortwave military channels, all open-source stuff, nothing secret, are hearing battles going on between submarines, sub-hunters, different things going on in the area around the Canary Islands. And that's obviously what I talked about. I mean, the idea of living on coastal plains or any place on the Gulf West or East Coast when you're absolutely being faced with the potential for a generated earthquake. See, this is something, too.
But you can't move them out, Stephen. They're not going to leave now.
They're not going to leave now, but they can be prepared. The basic thing is this, is our forefathers were pioneers. Everybody expects the machine to work. And I will tell you this, in the case of a national emergency, people better get set, because we've already had instances where ATM cards and credit cards get frozen. They can't withdraw anything from the bank.
And we could be in the cashless society when that happens.
You got it. See, that's the whole point, George. That's what it's all coming to. That's where it's all being brought to. If the cash fails and if the checks and the banks go down, then everybody gets together and they make an announcement that sounds like this. Given the world cataclysmic financial meltdown, the United Nations now announces that they're going to assign a given amount of units to everyone. And you must go and register at your post office, and you'll be given a card, or you'll be given a chip. And that will be your total history and your total allotment. I guarantee you, cheeseburgers and milkshakes won't be on the UN allotment.
No. Nope.
Of course, you know, or nor will any, you know, steak dinners.
Stephen, right before you came on, Linda Moulton Howe was on telling us about an incredible UFO story that occurred in Albuquerque in 1974. She contends that we go in stages of UFO flaps, waves. Does that have anything to do with weather manipulation?
Absolutely, because, again, the situation is weather manipulation. We're talking about electromagnetic attenuation of not only atmosphere. See, again, one of the things that I think is important is nobody knew what a Stargate was until the movie came out. And it's my contention, George, that the intelligence agencies leak different bits of information so that the Hollywood producers will make movies, and then everybody automatically dismisses it as, oh, that's just science fiction, or that's just make-believe. But again, the bottom line is if you take the word Stargate and you see that in the New Testament, the word star can be interchanged for angel, and then you get into angel gates, and then you get into the idea that something that has been kept behind the gate is now going to be allowed through the gate. And what happens when entities that absolutely have total contempt and disdain for the human race are free to wreak havoc on it? You know, most people will quote, well, as in the days of Noah, but they don't understand what the days of Noah were like. You know, it was so profane and so corrupt because the point being is these fallen angel entities were out destroying everything.
And do you believe they were giants?
Yes, I do. And, you know, you know that I built that case. I believe fallen angels, forgive me, are not giants. The fallen angels, the Bible says in Genesis 6, had sex with earth women. I want to clear up something that I'll always get after you and I talk about this stuff. It's the angels didn't stay in their heavenly realm. The book of Jude talks about they didn't stay in their estate, the place that God placed them, but they came to earth and they injected themselves into the human genome. And that's why it says that Noah and his family were perfect in their generations. In other words, they had no DNA of fallen angels. So the giants are the offspring of the fallen angels and the earth women. The fallen angels that had sex with the earth women, God has reserved in everlasting chains of darkness. But there are still fallen angels out there that didn't create or didn't procreate with earthly women. You see, again, when Jesus said in heaven, they are neither given nor taken in marriage, but are as the angels. That's in heaven. That has nothing to do with the earth.
Stephen, you know, a couple days ago I had Ken Klein on, and we were talking about some of this, and we were talking about giants and where they might be found. You've had some incredible pictures on your website, stevequayle.com, in the past, if I recall, about huge bones discovered?
Absolutely, and right now, George, one of the most exciting things, and I'll be blunt with you, a co-researcher in Europe has gotten a hold of a giant's tooth, and they've extracted live DNA. And then in addition to that, when we bombed, or whoever bombed Syria, something happened. A monument was turned up, or some stones are blasted loose, and you won't believe this story, but the Russians sent a delegation to photograph, to map, and to absolutely take pictures of, and I will send you the pictures as soon as I get them. The most famous eye surgeon in the world, Dr. Ernst Muldyshev, has photographs, and when you see the size of these footprints, you'll be astonished. Now, he took medical doctors with him to Lebanon and to Syria. And in Syria, when you see this amazing thing, you're talking about what they claim. And these are scientists. They claim that the giants that made those footprints had to be around 18 feet tall.
18 feet.
And so the tooth that they've extracted DNA from, by the way, was found in South America. And I was contacted, just so you know, by, I'll just say this, an Asian very prominent television station that's going to be filming the unearthing of a complete skeleton.
I hope it's not Geraldo's crypt, huh?
No, yeah, not a deal like that. But the bottom line is, see, what's interesting is this, is that, and this is why, this is another question we should answer. People say, well, where are all the skeleton stuff? If you want to control a group of people and divorce them from real history, then anything that relates to that real history is going to be kept from them. But you're going to allow the...
Whoop.
Yeah, are you there?
I'm here.
The initiates are the people that go along with you are going to be initiated, and they're going to say, here are all the secrets of the universe. Well, the bottom line is, one of these days, very quickly, a lot of that stuff's going to come out, and then people are going to be confronted with a whole different worldview and a historic view, and that whole alien card, how that plays into it, you know, again, it's obvious. You know, my contention is that the aliens are going to be released, and they're going to come in a way that they're going to deceive so many people. It's kind of like Independence Day. Everybody's standing on the top of the building.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and seeing spacecraft all over the place?
Well, I got news for you. My belief is we are going to see that.
You and really think that's going to happen?
Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you why. Because, again, being on talk radio, you know, to the lady that said, why do I scare people? I can tell you this. The truth is frightening if you don't have something to confront the truth with. You know what I'm saying? To deal with it. And I think that people will choose, and this is a sad state of affairs, they'll choose comfort and denial versus knowledge and
well, that's the human way, isn't
that's
it?
That's the human way. Because, but see, again, this is the thing that I'm trying to get across, that the fact is, if you know it's coming and prepare for it's coming, it's just like when we talked about the mortgage failure that was going to be down there. People laughed at me. They sent me emails. They sent you emails. But I can tell you this, had they taken a fixed mortgage rate back when the rates were 5.25%,
oh, whatever, my gosh, they'd be heroes tonight.
They'd be heroes.
Yep.
And the same thing is going to happen in the cascading international financial collapse. And I got to tell you, it can go fast. And when it goes fast, people will be blown away. And they're going to look out, as the President of the United States will look out and say, how did this happen? Even though he knows that it's going to happen, when it happens, it's even going to take him by surprise. Remember this. In order to have the New World Order that George Bush Sr. talked about, Brent Scowcroft said by conquest or by consent there will be a New World Order, this whole idea of a, if you will, of a world without national boundaries, etc., the whole Luciferian plan for the age is predicated upon a global financial collapse and the introduction of a mark of the beast system of being able to monitor every single person.
Stephen, I was asked to attend a satanic mass. I'm not going to. I don't want to be there. I don't have any reason to be there, but they wanted me to witness this thing.
Well, I think, first of all, George, I really believe that there are a lot of people that are praying for you, and thank you for not going to there.
I'm not
going to
do it. Nope, I'm not going to do it.
No, I know this, you know. And again, the thing is that, listen, it's kind of like this. Just because somebody says poison tastes sweet in your mouth but kills you 5 minutes later, you don't want to settle for the taste of sweetness for 5 minutes when the rest is eternally, gone from the planet.
Well, my journalistic background is inquisitive, but I'm not going to get involved in that stuff.
No, I think, and it's just like this, too. It's just like, look, there are people that believe that by opening up the gates of hell, and I have literally dealt with those people that said, I'm not going to, you know, I can't stop them. And I say this, that you will be stopped until the time it's to happen. When it happens, that's the time I'm trying to get people prepared for.
We'll be back. Final hour with Stephen Quayle. It's time for your phone calls. I'm George Norrie, and Coast to Coast AM continues.